Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It's our fourth season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And of course, the last three have been presented by Hooters. For those of you in the Tampa Bay area, there are 11 original Hooters brand locations for you to choose from. For those of you around the state of Florida, around the United States, and around the world, you probably already know where your nearest Hooters location is. It is a terrific spot to watch football. Thursday nights, Saturdays, Sundays, Sunday nights, Monday nights. Some good things just don't change in our world. We have the world famous Hooters girls, we have the wings, we have the cold beverages, and we have football on those TVs. And yes, there's usually a college game on Friday night as well. You can even catch baseball playoff action at your nearest Hooters location as well. Again, I thank Hooters for being the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and for hosting our annual draft event, which gets bigger and bigger every year. Gosh, I'm thinking about next year. We've gone from one big league to two leagues to three leagues. Hosting golf tournaments for 124 players is one thing. Hosting three fantasy football leagues at once was a big challenge. If we go to four leagues next year, let alone maybe five, well, I guess I'll get to that in 2020. But thanks to Hooters so much. Also, a thanks to Sean Sullivan. He plays in one of our podcast leagues. He was a big part of our draft event at Hooters, bigger than he expected to be. Sean Sullivan is the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. It is a Ford dealership that has been taking care of Tampa Bay area residents' automotive needs for generations. Generations of people have bought and had their cars serviced at Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, thank you for playing in one of the podcast leagues. Sean is doing fairly well in the Hall of Fame Fantasy League, where Ira Kaufman, of course, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, is also playing and not doing particularly well. But I thank everyone who played in those leagues. I'm following along, whether I am in your league or just the commissioner of the league. Technically, I'm the co-owner of Ira's team. I have no say in anything. I don't touch a thing. But by being co-owner, I was able to set up the league, and I can view it as the commissioner of the league in case anything does come up. Remember, my email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. When you ask questions, don't ask A or B. This isn't a live television show. I'd like to know your opinion on the A and B player, and then I want to see what you're thinking, and then I'll offer you a second opinion. Many of you have been throwing different trade ideas by me. In most cases, I say don't do it. And if you have a ridiculous trade idea, as I talk about regularly with Gil Alexander on VSiN, where I make appearances to talk fantasy every Thursday morning, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, 10:30 a.m. Eastern on VSiN, if you get a ridiculous trade offer from an owner, please feel free to forward me the ridiculous trade offer. If I agree it is ridiculous, we can shame the owner that sent you the ridiculous trade offer as much as you would like. I can write them personally. I can talk about them on VSiN. I can talk about them on my podcast. We've already done this once or twice, and I'm more than happy to do it again for people that make ridiculous trade offers. One thing that came in via email last week, and again, what I'm asking you on the emails is put everything in one email. Let me answer, and that's kind of the end of it, and let me move on. Because if I'm going to get to everybody, then I need to just respond once. And some of you then say, well, what about this? And I can't really go back. Now, you can email again down the road on something else, but in most cases, now sometimes I'll say, send me more and I'll follow up. But I had one gentleman last week, and we just had a healthy discussion about two players in particular on his roster. He had Will Dissly and he had Philip Lindsay. And he was trying to decide which one he wanted to play this week. It was pretty clear he needed to play one of the two. He might have had someone injured or someone sitting out. And it was a flex position that allowed him to play either running back or tight end. Now, many of you already know what I said back to this gentleman. And this is why you need to actually listen to the podcast. And for those of you who are here, thank you. Because I can tell based on the emails who listens to my podcast and who doesn't. It's very clear. The people that send emails who don't listen to the podcast stand out because of things they say that they probably shouldn't say or shouldn't ask. They should already know better. This gentleman was probably one of them. So let me reiterate. He was wondering whether he should flex a tight end in Dissly over a running back in Lindsay. He did give his opinions on both players, which I want in the emails. I want to know where you're coming from. And he said, well, Dissly's been hot and Lindsay is inconsistent. I don't disagree at all with that analysis on those two players. Now, remember, this was going into last week. I simply responded by saying, unless the tight end's name is Kelsey, and Kelsey has had more modest games recently than Kelsey owners and most fantasy owners would expect. As Kansas City continues to just sort of use all sorts of different people around Patrick Mahomes to get the job done, and now Mahomes has the tweaked ankle, and the Colts played keep away the other night in a win in Kansas City. So, but in general, I say, unless the tight end's name is Kelsey, and last year I said, unless the tight end's name is Kelsey or Ertz, because Gronkowski too often wasn't healthy the last few years, you don't flex a running back that gets volume over a tight end. And in many cases, you don't flex a wide receiver that gets volume over a tight end. It is simple mathematics. So what I said to the gentleman was, I said, okay, I get Dissly is hot and Lindsay is inconsistent. I own Lindsay in a couple of leagues because I owned him last year and he was wonderful for me, even though he was an undrafted free agent signee for the Denver Broncos. I didn't buy the Royce Freeman stuff throughout draft season. Royce Freeman has had an impact, but still, I firmly believe Lindsay's the better back, and I'm going to be patient with him on my roster whether I play him or not. So as I presented this further to the gentleman who emailed me, in the question of Dissly versus Lindsay, I said, okay, we're through 4 weeks of the season, and Dissly has touched the ball roughly 17 times. We are through 4 weeks of the season, and Lindsay has touched the ball nearly 80 times. I said, just take a look at those numbers. This means that Lindsay has four times as many chances to make a big play than Dissly does. It's just simple mathematics. So now let's go to Thursday night. Dissly was a significant part of the game plan for Seattle in their win against the Rams. Give Dissly credit. It was another good game for Dissly. You could see the way the Seahawks move him around, and Russell Wilson feels very comfortable throwing the ball in his direction. This is a good thing. Remember, the Seahawks even traded away another tight end. While they did bring back fan favorite Luke Wilson, Disley clearly has a role on this team. In the end, Disley touched the ball four times, and he gained roughly 80 yards. He didn't score a touchdown, but his game contributed to Seattle winning. Okay, then comes Sunday in the only other late afternoon window game against the Cowboys-Packers. Philip Lindsay touched the ball four times via the air, just like Disley did. The difference is Lindsay touched it 15 times, running it, and scored a touchdown. So the numbers just projected from the first 4 weeks, an additional week. Lindsay had four more times, almost five more times. Yeah, it was five more times, to touch the ball and make a big play. So not only was the volume higher, but Lindsay did get the touchdown, and despite the high red zone targets, Disley did not. The fewer times a player touches the ball, the more he becomes touchdown dependent. Most tight ends are, not Kelsey, even though his numbers are down. But with running backs especially, and I get that there have been games where Freeman has been getting the volume at around 40 to 50%, which takes away from Lindsay, you still have more touches from Lindsay than you do Disley. You don't want to play touchdown-dependent players. You don't want to do that. So while Disley is one of the top three or four tight ends right now in fantasy football, against a Philip Lindsay, as inconsistent as Lindsay is, Lindsay's inconsistency still has more volume and more opportunity to make big plays. Let's do a quick review, and these are obviously based on the way I set up my leagues. Again, I am anti-PPR. This was another week where PPR to me was ridiculous. Why players should get a point for catching a ball and doing nothing with it is beyond me. If you have your league set up based on yardage points, 1 point for every 10 yards rushing, 1 point for every 10 yards receiving, and I always recommend using the fractions. That also gets the tiebreakers out of it, or someone falling one yard short of that additional point. It just makes every play worthwhile. Some of you have heard my arguments against tight ends, mandatory starting and PPR in the past, and you get pushback from your commissioner or other owners. Eventually, you'll see the light. You want the game you watch on TV to reflect the game you're playing in fantasy. That also adds to the legitimacy of what we all do with fantasy football. So in my leagues, standard scoring, no PPR. 1 point for every 10 yards rushing, 1 point for every 10 yards receiving with fractions. So if you gain 5 yards, you earn half a point. Running backs, Christian McCaffrey, it certainly looks like those who picked third in draft season have gotten the better draw. Because once Cam had the foot injury, McCaffrey dropped from 2 to 3 in ADP with Barkley at number one. And granted, Barkley was injured, but even before the injury, wasn't putting up in those first 2 weeks the enormous numbers that McCaffrey has been putting up in recent weeks. McCaffrey is right now the number one player in fantasy football, followed by Dalvin Cook, followed by Aaron Jones with his mega 4-touchdown game against the Dallas Cowboys. Austin Eckler is fourth, still getting plenty of volume until it clicks with Melvin Gordon Eckler is still a factor here. I still think Eckler is a guy you can sell high, because I don't anticipate in a few weeks or come your push for the playoffs, he's going to be as much of a factor. Nick Chubb, despite another crap game by the Browns on Monday night, Chubb is fifth in running backs. And Mark Ingram, who seems to have one big game every other week, is sixth. Wide receiver-wise, Chris Godwin, and more I've been hearing this in recent weeks, I've talked about him being a rock-solid wide receiver too since draft season. More and more, he's being viewed as a wide receiver one, and I get it. Now, he's still a wide receiver two on the Bucs, and this goes back to something that I had a brief conversation with Tony Dungy in the locker room when the Bucs were working their way up. And the Bucs had lost Hardy Nickerson, and I asked Coach Dungy if that allowed him to do more with Derek Brooks. And Dungy very matter-of-factly said, no. We like what Derek does, and we're going to continue to have him do what we need him to do and what he is best at. And Dungy simply said, just because you lose a quality player at another position doesn't mean you take a player who is good at what he does, move him there, and then you have two question marks. So Godwin, while he is the wide receiver two on the Bucs, he is. That's what works for him. The routes he runs and the way they utilize him in that offense. Mike Evans did drop a goose egg in the game against the New Orleans Saints, but Godwin is wide receiver two on the Bucs. But in fantasy, yeah, the numbers do dictate he is playing and producing at a wide receiver one level in fantasy. He is the number one wide receiver in fantasy football, again, non-PPR. Amari Cooper is two. DJ Chark just continues to crank it out. I rostered him a couple of weeks ago. I made the mistake of not playing him last week. I still won my game, but Chark finds the end zone. He's just a very consistent target for Gardner Minshew, who has started to also find DeeDee Westbrook. Things are progressing in Jacksonville, and Minshew more and more is looking the part of a legit National Football League quarterback, not just someone filling in for right now. Cooper Kupp, fourth. Very, very, very dependable receiver. Good hands, runs great routes, a lot of yards after the catch, works the middle of the field. Michael Thomas, five. Michael Thomas just does things no other wide receiver does. You throw him the ball, he catches it. Funny how that works. Always pulls in a high percentage of his targets. And outstanding against press coverage. You try to press Michael Thomas, he's going to beat you. Probably the best in the game at it. And Keenan Allen's numbers. He was what? Wide receiver two a few weeks ago. It has fallen off a little bit, but he's sitting there at number six overall. Quarterback-wise, we talked about Russell Wilson in a previous fantasy podcast. For those that have a bad opinion of Russell Wilson as a terrible fantasy player, you're wrong. Admit you're wrong, even if you don't own him. He's number one through 5 weeks. He's ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Deshaun Watson had an enormous game, even bigger than Russell Wilson's on Thursday nights, was Deshaun Watson's, even though DeAndre Hopkins continues to modestly underachieve just because he's not getting in the end zone with his regularity. The touchdown progression is coming with Hopkins. That was a real good plug-and-play start for a Will Fuller, either in season-long or in daily last week. Lamar Jackson is four, but the production hasn't been nearly as good the last 3 weeks as the first two. This is an important week for Lamar Jackson coming up against the lousy Cincinnati Bengals defense. Dak Prescott is five, even in losing efforts where he throws picks. Dak is still throwing the ball down the field. That's where Kellen Moore, the promoted new offensive coordinator of the Cowboys, he wants Dak looking downfield first. And that's why Dak's numbers continue to be very good fantasy-wise. And Matt Ryan just keeps doing it. I used to say that Big Ben and Phillip Rivers were the most undervalued quarterbacks in fantasy. I think in the last few years, it's Matt Ryan. And I call the Atlanta Falcons a fantasy football team because I don't think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They're on a fringe of being a playoff contender. But Matt Ryan's going to put up numbers. And even got some balls to Calvin Ridley last week. Hooper's been getting throws, and obviously Julio Jones is having a very good year just outside the top six in wide receivers in the leagues I commission. Again, my email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You can email me Monday through Saturday. Sundays are mine for the leagues I commission, for my teams, for my golf tournaments, and for just things that I need to do on Sundays. I'm sorry I'm not available for you last minute. I'm just not. That's my personal day. I'm there for you Monday through Saturday. You send me an email Monday through Saturday, and I will respond to it. Facebook, I'm Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Follow along. On Instagram, I'm at ToddWright2019. And if you want golf information, Todd Wright Tour 22 is not on sale yet. But if you'd like information when it is, you can email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Please listen to my segment with Gil Alexander this coming Thursday morning, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. That is otherwise known as VSiN, and you can also find it on Sirius XM. I really enjoy being on with Gil. And with Jay Gruden out as head coach of the Redskins, and it appears as though they'll be patient with Dwayne Haskins, and why not? Lousy game this week, Redskins-Dolphins, but there's potential for points with two lousy teams like that. Adrian Peterson is probably worth claiming this week in fantasy. He's probably on a lot of waiver wires. I know I claimed him a few weeks ago when Geis went down, then I dropped him. I might be in the market for him again just to see how much the Redskins want to run the ball, especially against a lousy team like Miami. And I guess you can make the same argument about a Miami player against the Redskins defense. But I'm out of the Dolphins business until further notice. I really don't want to waste my time on the Miami Dolphins because they don't seem to care about this season. And to me, there's very, very little fantasy value there. But I think there may be some value in Adrian Peterson going forward with the coaching switch and also going up against the Dolphins this week. Peterson is a Hall of Famer, and I doubt he wants to go out like this. Does he have a few more games in him? I think so. If given the opportunity, this week certainly looks like one to me. Just an opinion. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.